Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
There is a dilemma here, right? Because this is a husband and wife, they've got three kids. You know, the husband's mother is minding the kids while they're out at work earning a crust because they need to, because they got a mortgage and they're bringing the kids on holidays and all that kind of stuff, right? Okay. So, and she obviously wants to work, and that's fine. But, and so does he. Let's not be sexist. But she's now hinting, the granny after, now after a couple of years, it does say she's been minding them for a couple of years. She's now hinting that, you know, like, oh, childcare costs are expensive, aren't they? Yous are saving a lot of money with me, like, any chance of a few quid? You know, and the wife was going to the husband, you know, I'm kind of envisaging the conversation, the argument the two of them had. Jeez, your mother's a miserable bitch, isn't she? You know what I mean? I mean, they're her grandkids. You'd think she'd be happy to mind them, wouldn't you? There's many grandmothers out there who don't get that opportunity. You know? But the husband's saying, well, now hold on for a second here. You know, she has a life too, you know what I mean? And she has given up her life to mind our kids and raise our children while we're in work. Anyway, let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. She says, am I being completely unreasonable? Or, you know, should we be paying her to look after our kids? Let me go to Fiona. Fiona, hi, how are you?
I'm very good, Niall. How's yourself?
Grant, not a bother. Could be worse. It's always could be better. Always could be better, you know what I mean? Unless you want to throw me a few quid. If you win the lottery.
But I'm
like,
on job number two, no, Niall. I'm exhausted.
Can we make a pact? If you win the lottery, 130 million, will you throw me a few quid and I'll throw you a few quid, Fiona?
Without a shadow of a doubt, because you're the only things that cheers me up.
Thanks. Anyway, Fiona, is the daughter being selfish?
Oh, unnaturally.
You think so?
She's, oh, without a doubt. I mean, it makes it very easy for any woman to go back to work knowing there's family minding your child.
Yeah.
Actually, it's probably one of the few times that you can actually walk out the door knowing, you know, oh God, thank God, someone in my own is minding them.
Yeah, yeah.
I take my grandchild every weekend, but that's for my time.
Yeah.
And my time with her. But would I be doing it Monday to Friday? Like, that's the mother's time, the grandmother's time.
Yeah, you've kind of done so the raising.
All her time.
Yeah.
You know, so like, it's not as if she's just taking them on the sleepovers or for the granny time. She's actually wearing them for her daughter-in-law.
Yeah, she is, yeah.
And she don't want to give her a penny.
No.
I just think she's very...
Well, see, I think the grandmother ruined it by starting off by doing it for free. So she's been doing it for free for 2 years, you know, and then suddenly now she's hinting that she wants money because she's hinting, oh, childcare is expensive, you know, look how much you're saving. And it's three kids. Imagine how much it would cost for childcare for three kids.
And we'd say you just take the kids down to the shop. Granny takes the kids out to the shop. Granny takes the kids to McDonald's. It all costs
money, yeah.
It's coming out of her pocket, obviously. So she's probably feeling that she's spending her money on them as well.
Yeah.
So you have to take all the aspects into consideration. Like,
yeah.
She's probably spending a lot of probably her pension on her grandchildren.
Yeah, well, we're assuming she's over the age of 65, but yeah, she probably is. Yeah, yeah, she may be.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think she's been very unreasonable.
Yeah.
Now, we don't know what her own mother's circumstances are.
Yeah, it doesn't mention that at all. No, no.
No, but with her own mother.
Let's assume for the purpose of the argument she's dead.
we'll say that.
Yes, just for the purpose of the argument.
She ran away from her daughter.
She wanted to get as far away from the daughter as possible. She sounds like a cow. Okay,
yeah,
so let's assume she's dead, just for the purpose of the argument.
Yeah.
So it doesn't give anyone a chance to say, well, maybe the mother could find mind them. Anyway, so yeah, so it. I mean, it does seem like a lot for a granny to be doing, by the way, because the kids are 4, 6 and 11, so I'm assuming the 6 and 11-year-old have to be picked up from school.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they have to be fed. And like that, surely be to God she don't steal with them. And as you said, Niall, you're only going down to the shop, it's going to cost you...
Yeah, bag of sweets.
It's gone.
Yeah, bag of sweets and a bottle of Coke or something.
You can be sure she's spending a lot of her own...
Money
on the kids as well, as she has them.
Yeah,
so I think, you know, even if they were paying her, you'd still be inclined to spend that money on your grandchildren anyway.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, there would be no harm to pass over an envelope to that woman.
Yeah. And would you like, well, let's say childcare for three kids is probably $2,000 at least.
All day.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So how much should she give her? 500? 1,000?
She should pay her decently. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm. Okay. Let me tell you, yeah. if it was the fact that she does have to put her children into childcare, no, she has three unhappy children as well.
They'd much prefer to be with granny.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The child would rather be with their mother, as you know, Niall.
Yeah,
but unfortunately, with society, we have to get up and get out to work. So,
do we? Do we really?
The next best thing.
Yeah, do we really have to get out to work? We've built this system now. It's not like the old system. This new system where both parents are working now. And I don't want to sound sexist, so it can be either man or woman, but primarily it's women who tend to want to stay at home with the children. But we've built up this new system which forces two people to go out to work sometimes. Or maybe it doesn't, maybe it doesn't force. Maybe we're not willing to sacrifice. I'll give you an example. I know a couple and they had three kids similar to this and all three of them were young because two of them were twins. And what they did was they used to get up in the morning, 8 o'clock, bring the kids to the creche. Two of them went off to work, collect the kids from the creche at 6 in the evening and the kids would be in their pajamas being collected and then they bring them home, put them to bed, right? And I'm going, what's the point in having children if that's what you're going to do, right? Letting the creche raise the children, right? But here's the thing. Their argument was, oh, we've got an expensive mortgage, blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, hold on a second. You've got two cars. You go on two holidays a year. Okay, you've got an expensive mortgage. Maybe you could downsize. You don't need the big house because it's only three kids. You know, and you don't need the second car. You don't need all those luxuries. You don't need the two holidays a year. You could easily, one of you, give up your job because it was costing them nearly $3,000 in childcare costs. So it was, to me, that was selfishness.
Me too.
Yep. They didn't need to do that.
Honest, Niall, I wasn't lucky enough to have had the perfect partner. So I did end up wearing mine on my own.
Yeah.
And I did do it.
Yeah, good for you.
There was a time I did not want to, because we'd say there'd be a 10-year gap between my two kids. I didn't want to do to my second child what I did to my first with the running, come on, we're late, oh, all this. Where is the enjoyment in rearing a child like that? I was lucky enough to have my father for the first 2 years and it made me very easy for me to go out to work. It's very easy for me to go out to work. But when sadly he passed away, that's when I started to feel, you know, that no, you're supposed to be at home with your child. And the next best thing would be your mother. But unfortunately, I buried my mother as well 2 years previous to my father. So I didn't have the luxury of parents either.
But so you were all kind of on your own. Wrong. Yeah, you were on your own.
Yes, but I would have had siblings that would have helped. Yeah. But when I did have my second child, I did make the conscious decision. I did weekend work. I wanted to be the mammy that got him to school and I wanted to be the mammy that picked them up and gave them their dinner.
Yeah, fair play to you. Can I just say something here, right? Because we never thank all the, and I was going to say parents who stay at home to raise their kids. It's primarily women. Mm. And can I just say, particularly after the referendum, that we value them so much because we didn't want to change the referendum and we want to value the woman that's in the home, right? And it's not that she has to be in the home because the referendum never said that. It was the woman that's, we value her place in the home, right? So can I say, I want to give a big round of applause to all those women who raise children at home. And to men who do it too, or the small amount, but to men who do it as well, fair play to you, because I tell you now, your children fare off much better when you're with them. Because all a child wants is love. That's all a child wants.
That's all.
Yep. Stay there for a second, getting back to the topic. Pauline, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall.
Good.
I agree with what you just said about couples, both of them basically having to work to be able to afford a home. And having no choice other than to put their children in care, in daycare. So if people possibly can, I've said this before, try and do it on one man's wage or
one woman's
wage. Whatever. I'm not into this new age talk about equality and all that. I don't see it that way. But anyhow, my father, for example, reared seven children and on one wage, all of us were reared and my mother was at home with us. So I think we all benefit from that. I've seen children going into creches, outside of creches, at a quarter to six in the morning and being collected as late as 7 o'clock at night. And that I don't think that's any life for either the parents or for children. So try your best to get your family. I think family, parents should try to help their children as soon as they possibly can, teach them how to save and get their money together for their deposit for their little homes and help them, because it's getting more and more difficult now for young couples to get a start in life. They're leaving it late, like we all did, I suppose, over the last or recent years. But try to teach them how to save early, and preferably in credit unions, go away from the banks, and try to get your deposit together for your little homes, and parents help them out, because it's getting harder for them.
Okay, and getting back to this email, by the way, you know, so she's cheesed off that the granny is now asking for money. You know, my answer to her maybe would be, well, maybe you could reduce your career down to 3 days, or your husband could reduce his down to 3 days a week and give the mother a break.
Yeah, well, one of them, if they can afford to, they've had a 2-year head start. They must have, I suppose, gotten into a way of life now with the benefit of not having to pay for the outrageous cost of childcare, but they most certainly are blessed to have family look after their children for them. I think that's lovely, particularly grandparents. It doesn't matter who the parents are, in the sense that if it's family, it's family, it's the same as. But they definitely should be giving that lady or that couple. They're probably minding the child in their the children in their own home, so they're not having to pay ESB or heating. So they should absolutely give something towards the looking after of the children to their parents.
Mm. Yeah, I now it doesn't mention, you know, where she's minding the kids, whether it's in her own house, the granny's house, or whether it's in their house. It doesn't say that, so I don't know. I'm assuming the granny has to pick them up from school and all sorts of things, because they're obviously of that age.
So it's a full-time job for the couple, for the grandparents. Yeah. So, and they most definitely.
But her argument is the granny should be happy and thankful that she's getting to look after her own grandkids and be with her own grandkids.
That's an absolutely disgraceful thing to come out with.
No. That's her argument. Yeah. She said, I just think it's ridiculous. She is there. Yeah. She's their grandmother, and she'd be happy to look after them and not be looking for money off us.
It's lovely. It's lovely that she looks after them. She's the one who's blessed in this situation. But on the other hand, as we all know, the government wants you all at home and dependent on them anyway. So I do admire people for going out to work and for holding down their job. But they most definitely have given her parents, if it is her parents, a full-time job, and most likely
his
parents.
No, it's his parents. It's his mother.
Oh, his parents. And well, then she's even more blessed, because very few of them would do that.
Mm.
Your own mother might, but your mother-in-law, that's her. And she thinks she's lucky, or that's amazing. But anyway, she's double blessed if that's the case, because most mother-in-laws would not take on. They might take on their own daughter's children, but not their daughter-in-law's children, so she's double blessed.
Yeah, if there's any grannies listening at the moment who mind their kids, I'd love to hear from you. Do you charge your children for looking after your grandkids, or their grandkids? Your grandkids, sorry. The number is 087-188-0008. Fiona and Pauline, save me for a second. Let me go to Cormac. Cormac, hi.
Okay.
Good evening, Niall. How are you?
Nice to talk to you, Cormac. It's been a little while. Hope you're well.
I'm keeping quite well. This is a topic I've had 14 years of direct experience with.
Oh, okay.
I missed the intro to the debate, but my understanding is that there's some young lady refusing to pay her grandmother. Is that the issue?
Refusing to pay the husband's mother, who's minding the kids 5 days a week.
Yeah, well, I've just done 14 years of that with my wife for my daughter, and I have to say that I think it's a bigger societal issue than just this particular case. But in any event, I think the attitudes of both parties there is very relevant. Is the grandparent looking for money?
Yes, she's hinting that she should be paid. She's been doing it for 2 years, and they haven't given her anything.
Well, I wouldn't agree with that unless the grandparent is in circumstances where she requires money.
Yeah.
Because my own experience, my wife's experience, has been that we helped rear our grandson for 14 years.
Okay.
In our retirement years.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting to hear middle-aged people saying the grandparents should help.
Yeah, like you have a duty to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, when people say that, do they realise that people have worked for 60 years, they're in their 70s, and middle-aged people think that grandparents should help? What's the story about the grandparents? What's happening to the retirement? They're getting up at 8 in the morning, delivering children to school, making their lunches, collecting them at lunchtime, bringing them home, cooking their dinners in the evening. And this is going on for 12, 13, 14 years. So the grandparents have effectively no retirement now.
None, yeah.
In my situation, so it's interesting to hear that young lady, the last lady who was on there, saying the grandparents should help, but that she should be paid.
Whether
the grandparents should help or not is purely discretionary. What did you say?
What I said is that it's lovely. It's lovely that grandparents are looking after the children. What I said was...
No, you said that grandparents should help.
No. I said it's lovely.
It's nice
that grandparents... You said grandparents should help.
No. That's not my opinion at all.
Yes.
I'm just telling you that is not my opinion. So you misunderstood me, or I'm sorry if you misunderstood me, because I do not think that. I think it's lovely that grandparents, as opposed to outsiders, are helping any family member, as opposed to an outsider, is what I said. It's better. It's family. What I said where help is concerned is that I think it's important that young people growing up are helped by their parents to buy their future homes, that they're taught how to save.
And what do you think the parents are supposed to do with their retirement after working for 60 years? Give their money away.
No, as they're rearing their children, what I said was I think that they should teach them to save for deposits for their home.
You sound like a middle-aged young lady, and you haven't
That's
had life experience. When you're in your 70s, when you're in your 70s and you're tired and worn out,
you don't know how old Pauline is. I don't know how old Pauline is.
She's probably in her early 50s, attractive young lady.
A middle-aged, attractive young lady in her 50s. There you go, Pauline.
Thanks very much.
Yeah.
My point is this. Sorry, let me make my point.
You've had a long spiel there. My point is that society has come in the political framework of the way we live to expect grandparents to do this. This is not a function of grandparents. Now, we did it out of love.
Hold on, Cormac. You've just said it's not a function of grandparents, and then you went on to say you did it out of love. So would you say it's a part of society that grandparents do like to and enjoy a lot of the time looking after their grandkids? There's nothing wrong with that.
Hold on a second now,
yeah,
please.
Yeah.
You do things out of love, but when you do it for 14 years, it becomes a chore.
Yeah, I imagine.
And particularly, now hold on, let me finish. Particularly when you're in your retirement years, when you're supposed to be enjoying yourself. Now, the political system in this country has come to expect and almost demand, as this young lady has implied in my opinion, that parents have some sort of, grandparents have an obligation to do this. Now, for the first 4 years of what my wife and I did, we had to struggle to do it. Fortunately, for the last 10 years, we could afford to do it. And the result of that was a bond was created with the child that's unbreakable and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But if you take a grandparent in their retirement years where the government is expecting them and almost legislating for it, that they should sacrifice their hard-earned retirement years to support young people who cannot afford to buy homes, The problem is not that. The problem is the children can't afford to buy homes, so the political system is bent, and the grandparents are picking it up.
Yeah, I do. Well, hang on. Well, Pauline, I do agree with what he's saying. Okay, I do agree with him.
Can I explain what I was saying? The whole point I said was that two people have to go to work, and I think that's a shame because they're obligated to do so in order to afford their mortgage. What I said what I said with regards to that was it would be better to teach children as they're growing up to save and have a deposit for their mortgages. No.
The solution is to enable young people to. The solution is to enable young people to be able to afford to buy a home. It's not education. It's not. It's pure economics. It's nothing to do with education. It's nothing to do with saving. It's nothing to do with saving.
It's teaching their children to save. So is that when the time comes to buy a home, they have their deposit and a little bit more.
Do you know why you're saying that?
Excuse me. And two of them don't have to go to work and put their kids in crèche. That's not what my point was.
Yeah, let me tell you something.
Can I say something to both of you? Hold on for a second, Pauline and Cormac. Cormac, I think Pauline is saying... Well, no, hang on, please, just for a second. I think Pauline is saying something very similar to you, Cormac, but just slightly differently. She's saying exactly the same thing. That we shouldn't be in a society where that demands that two people go to work, and that it's a much better system when one person is able to stay at home and raise the children for the formative years of their life. So you're kind of saying the same thing to some degree.
Sure, thank you.
So, you know, we are on the same page here. So don't be fighting.
No, we're agreed. Let me finish. Let me finish.
One man's wage, seven children reared, and a mother at home. That was the example I gave.
You know why that was? Do you understand why that was? Because you're being ripped off.
Yeah.
You're being.
She's agreeing with you, Cormac.
I know she is, but she's not listening to me.
Well, she is.
The solution is not penalizing young people in their prime years when they should be enjoying sport, they should be enjoying socializing, to penalize them by putting them to the pin of their collar. Have to save every penny and scrounge. Now, hold on a minute. The reason that young people are in the position they're in at the moment, and I'm a financier, okay, is that they're being ripped off by mortgages.
Yes, they are.
That's the reason. Now, hold on. Hold on a minute. That is the reason. It has nothing to do with children. You're advocating...
We are going down circles, Cormac, because she actually agrees with you. So I don't know who you're fighting with here, because we all agree with you. For example, you're talking about mortgages. The average mortgage now is $2,000, whereas it's always been recommended you never spend 30% of yours, more than 30% of your salary on where you live, whereas now people are spending 50% of their salary on where they live. So hold on, to fix this system and to allow us to go back to the point where somebody can stay at home and raise the children if they choose to do so, we should be in a situation where one person can earn enough money to afford the home and the bills and looking after the children.
You're going to be in that situation very, very shortly. Let me assure you of that.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I said that. It's not getting any easier.
Not with this government, you won't be.
Yeah.
You will be.
How do you figure that one out, Cormac?
Because there's a new financial product coming on the market. That's how I know. And I've created it.
Can you tell us about it?
No, I can't. I can't. It's the subject of a non-disclosure agreement. But I'm going to take on society in relation to punishing young people, destroying their lives when they should be enjoying themselves, playing sport, instead of scrimping and saving for deposits on something they're entitled to. I'm going to make housing affordable to young people.
Well, I tell you what, Cormac, if you can do that, you'll be the most popular man in the country.
I know that.
Mm.
Watch this space.
Well, we did have a shared ownership scheme going back about 20 years ago, because I remember a mate of mine bought a house on a shared ownership scheme, and it worked quite well. Yeah.
It's nothing to do with shared ownership. This young lady who's been speaking, sorry, I don't know your name.
Her name is Pauline.
Pauline, excuse me, Pauline. Pauline, you're very well intentioned, but you don't understand the problem. The problem is that young people are being ripped off. Are being ripped off.
You're arguing
young people,
with yourself.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing with you. You kind of are arguing
with her. You're saying she doesn't understand the problem. I think Pauline fully understands it.
I don't mean to do that. I'm just arguing with your solution.
Yeah.
I think you're perfectly right. Too many people are pinned by their collars by banks where two have to go out to work and throw their kids into creches 12 and whatever amount of hours a day. Not like when my father and mother reared us. My father went to work, 7 children were reared, my mother stayed at home on one man's wages, and they bought 4 houses throughout their life. They were not pinned by the collar. They weren't controlled like couples are nowadays, that both have to get up at 5:45 in the morning to drop their kids into places to be looked after and pick them up at 7. And people should
now we're on the same wave. Now we're on the same wavelength.
Okay. Okay. Let's get back to the grandkids if I can. Cormac and Pauline, stay there. Let me just bring Mick into the conversation too. Mick, hi. How are you?
How are you doing, Niall? How are things?
Good. We're all fighting now. Mick. Yeah, go ahead, Mick.
No, we're not fighting.
Okay, okay.
All right, Cormac, I'm after this view from the up there. Give me a chance there, will you?
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Mick.
Right, thanks, Niall. Come here. I have 4 grandkids at home, right? And I do school runs and all that jazz. I have 1 daughter and her boyfriend. The 2 of them have to work together. The 2 of them have to work 2 separate jobs in order to keep a roof over her head. Their rent is, I think, is 11 a month.
Yeah.
And they're running a car, they're looking after their child. So they approached us and asked us, we mind looking after our grandkids' child for, say, 2 days a week, 3 days a week, whatever it is. She works shifts. And she was actually heard that said, yes, look, if you look after them, we'll give you X amounts. And the amount that she actually said was way too much. They can't afford childcare. And as your earlier callers, I think it was Pauline, was saying that you see kids going in there at 7 o'clock in the morning into creches there and up into 6 o'clock. They didn't believe that. We didn't believe it. My grandchild goes to the same school as I do, as my youngest do. So she drops them over or to come the night before. Day to night, we bring them to school. I bring them to school. I pick them up. My partner gives them whatever, breakfast, dinner, tea, whatever they want. Press is open. It's an open house, you know what I mean? Whatever they want, it's there, they can have it. If it's not there, we go get it. My daughter then gave us a minimum amount, just the bare basics. Make it look like that she's not taking advantage of it. You know, it works for her and it works for us as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it works for everybody. Yeah, good.
Yeah, it works for everybody. And like,
but can I ask you a question, Mick? Do you feel, going from what this email is about, right, do you feel that grandparents owe something to their children? I mean, should they be doing it voluntarily?
It's not that we owe them anything. It's that we're there to try and help them along, right? You know, like,
would you ever ask for money? Does your daughter or the boyfriend ever give you money?
No, the daughter approached us and said, look, I will give you X amount if you mind the kids.
Yeah.
But just say, for example, we'll just use an example of 200 quid a week. Right? We just use that as an example. I'm not telling you what it is.
Yeah.
I actually don't know because my partner deals with it. And we just said, no, that is way too much. Right? So they came up with a price, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, because it does cost money. I know, and I get that. Yeah.
Yeah, and they agree, and between the two of them, they agreed with it. And it's grand.
Can I just say something, Niall? Because it's out of my mind. This referendum that just was put down, basically, it's a very good job that this country did do so, because an awful lot of the effects would have come in years to come with inheritance of homes.
Yes.
So it's a good job you all said no.
Yeah, I know. I'm delighted everyone said no.
And don't get fooled by them next time either. Read between the lines.
Oh no, I don't even think any government who now tries to touch that referendum again or that part of the constitution again will get the same response.
You have to start reading between the lines with these guys.
When you get a landslide defeat on a referendum, which is a record landslide defeat in any government that's ever had in the history of the state on that particular referendum, you will know that they will never touch that again. They know the people don't want it. It'll take a long time for them to even think about changing that again.
They would have been giving your homes to every Tom, Dick and Harry. I mark my words. It's a very good job people read between the lines. And make sure you do it the next time and every time after that.
And I would say the same to people, but although there doesn't have to be a referendum on it, when it comes to the hate speech bill, please, I implore people, lobby your local politician, say it to every politician coming to the door, that you do not approve the new hate speech bill. Because it is going to destroy your freedom to speak. And by the way, it'll have a very damaging effect, even on possibly on shows like this. It'll have a very damaging effect on podcasts. It'll have a very damaging effect on debate. It'll have a chilling effect in society on conversations and arguments. You won't even be allowed to have an argument anymore. It'll be almost illegal to insult somebody. Anyway, look.
You won't be able to open your mouth and you'll never get the government out.
I won't be able to call you idiots anymore. You know what I mean? Anyway, okay, but so getting back to the original email. So should the daughter just, you know, swallow her pride here and give the granny some money?
I think so, yeah, because...
She's three kids, like.
So, are you four grandkids?
Yeah, no, but she's looking after the three kids 5 days a week. You'd think they'd be giving her something, wouldn't you?
Look, I don't know what part of the country that email came from, but if she's in the Dublin region, just say, for example, like, they could be paying $2,000 a month for childcare.
Yeah, more. They'd be paying more than that.
Maybe more. Yeah, definitely. Look, she's entitled to look for some few pounds to help her out. Because, like you say, we don't know if she's using her house or their house. If she's using her own house, like she's obviously feeding them.
Yeah.
Showering them, staying over, whatever the case may be. You know, bills have to be paid. And it's like, if this particular lady is this granny, is up in the ears, and I don't mean no disrespect to her. Like, if she is, like, she might have a solid, a high income to support herself along with.
Yeah. No, and I get that. Listen, before I have to go into break, before I go into the break, Cormac, before I let you go, I want to know more about your idea. Can you tell me any more about it? I'm intrigued. Is he gone? Cormac, are you there? He's abandoned us.
No harm.
No harm. Did you say no harm?
I said no harm. He's a little bit cranky tonight.
Is he? Okay, yeah. Well, maybe a little bit. But he had a good idea there. He just, I don't know. Yeah,
get him back now. We need to know what this is.
I don't think he's going to tell us about his idea. He's gone anyway.
No, he might slip, you know.
Is he gone, Amanda? Is Cormac gone? Yeah.
Because this is a brilliant idea. Everybody wants to know.
Yeah, he's gone.
Actually, we should come up with
him. He might have fallen asleep or something, maybe. I just... he needs a couple of cans of Red Bull. He was a little bit angry, in fairness. Maybe he just wore himself out there and he fell asleep. And, you know, Pauline, I think we're missing out on something in this country. When we look at this email, it's very typical of what's going on in society and what Mick is doing, by the way, as well, by looking after his kids too. You know, we are missing out on the basics, aren't we? The basic principles of a country and how we raise kids.
Yeah, I mean, I watch kids now, and this sounds like a ridiculous thing to bring up, and I don't...
Oh, we lost her. She dropped her phone or something like that. We'll try and get Pauline back if we possibly can. Let me go to Billy. Billy, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you keeping?
Good. Nice to talk to you, Billy. Billy, there's a bigger issue here, isn't there, rather than just this email. This email is quite typical of what's going on and why it's going on, but there is a bigger issue.
Population decline now, 1.7, isn't it?
1.7, yeah, it should be 2.1 to get to population replacement levels.
In saying that, if you check your statistics, and I can't at the moment because I'm driving, but I believe the 1.7 is only in the last 12 months. Before that, I think it was 2.1, 2.2.
Yeah, we were at, I remember doing this as a topic on the air going back about 5 years ago and saying we were getting dangerously close because it was at 2.5. or something like that. So, yeah, it is only in the last year or two. It's got worse.
So we in Ireland, up until then, had the highest population replacement in Europe. So we were the peak.
Yeah, but
I think we might be coming down. We might be coming down a bit.
But this problem exists right across Europe now.
Yeah. So look, go on to your email firstly. If I can just cover that off. My mum and dad both worked when I was a kid, and my grandmother looked after myself, my sister, some cousins. But my parents always gave her money, as did the other parents of my cousins who were looked after by her. So, you know, I think fair is fair. Even if it's a small amount, it still should be given.
Yeah.
I think it's only fair. Going to your broader topic on population decline, I think I could be getting my countries wrong. It might be Hungary, it might be Italy, but I believe the governments there are starting to incentivize mothers to stay at home and have kids because they've identified population decline as being an issue that is going to hit Europe going forward.
It's a huge problem. It's a huge problem. And
there's no doubt about it. And, you know,
and by the way, it's a bigger problem for the future because as the population declines, in other words, as we have less children, our population get older. And then the problem is we don't have enough taxpayers to pay the pensions.
Again, I think, Niall, the ideal situation is that you have 5 taxpayers for every 1 pensioner in the country.
Yep. That's not going to happen.
But the further that we get into this century, by the end of this century, we're not going to be at a sustainable level. But it's going to get, I think it's in the next 40 years, you're going to have 3 taxpayers for every 1 pensioner, which is an unsustainable amount.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of issues here. And even if
there's a lot of issues here. And the main issue is the cost of housing and somewhere to live, the cost of food, the cost of clothes, the cost of raising a child in general. All of those things are factors in people making a decision not to have a child or not to stay at home with the child. You know, the man or the woman, whoever decides to go to work and have the career, should earn enough money to be able to sustain the lifestyle that they currently have.
But Niall, like, you know and I know that there is enough physical property to house everyone in this country.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Physically, there is enough houses out there that are vacant or empty. I've talked to you before about my bugbear, which is Airbnb and the short-term rental sector. There's plenty of short-term rentals out there that can house people, but yet we have people living in hotels, which is an inversion of
The cost of new builds is outrageous, and it's basically false. You know, it's not real because what we're paying for is the land. We own the land as a country anyway. So I don't understand
the cost of new builds is down to the cost of materials, the cost of wood, the cost of concrete.
And all that is being affected by political decisions as well, but the cost of energy, the cost of haulage, the cost of fuel, all that is having a massive knock-on effect on the cost of housing too.
But some of that is outside of our control, some of it is within our control.
A lot of it's within our control.
Not all of it is within our control. The cost of timber and things like that, for example, are outside of our control because it's a global market for them. So it's the global market that dictates those. But like, you know, some of the causes, as we said, yes, are within the government's control. Like, you know, as I've said to you before, in the past, the county councils or corporations built houses. They don't do that anymore. They sold off the stock of those social houses. In the 90s, they made a fortune out of it. Well, they did make a fortune.
Yeah.
They made some money out of it at the time, but a lot of those houses were sold at below market rate, which...
Oh, yeah, I know. So my father bought our house, 1,600 quid. Yeah.
But I think,
Billy, what we're doing is we're looking at things wrong. Instead of looking at the cost of childcare, which, by the way, we should be looking at in the short term, instead of looking at the cost of childcare, we should be looking at how we can make it, you know, sustainable and financially viable for either a mother, which primarily it is mothers who want to stay at home, but either parent to stay at home and raise the children. That's what we should be looking at, helping them to do that. Sorry, Pauline, you got cut off there and you wanted to say something before I went to Billy, and I'm going to come back to Billy in a second, but go ahead, Pauline.
Yeah, no, we have to stop paying big mortgages too. Well, everybody collectively is going to have to say no to the cost of houses. It's forcing 2 people to have to go out to work. They're like production units. They have no family life. I was saying about children. Children don't even have table manners. They don't even eat with their parents a lot of the time. It's absolutely crazy.
I know. There's a whole societal issue. I get that. Yeah. a change.
It's a rat race. You know, two people getting up in the morning. The home is empty all day that they're out paying for. Bricks and mortar is what they pay for all of their life. And somebody like that guy who was on with you, it's an awful pity he didn't stay and give you an idea. But collectively, we should work out a way. And I do believe that parents should help when their children are grown up. Teach them how to save. Teach them how to save for when they want a little home of their own and help them to do it. Because the banks are absolutely controlling couples' lives. They have them both out in the morning when it's still dark with their infants in their arms to go and pay for bricks and mortar and bringing the babies home at nearly bedtime. They have no life and the family have no life. The family has to be put first in this country again. And we need to start with this mortgage nonsense that's going on and screwing everybody over and over and over. And for the length of time that they have to do it, get up and go and pay for bricks and mortar and leave aside their family. Do whatever is provided.
Yeah. No, I understand. It's a point well made. And Billy, I think it's a really good point. You know, we've created a system.
I completely agree with what Pauline's saying. I just come at it in a slightly different angle.
Oh, I know.
Because, you know, we go back to the 1950s, the 1960s, 1970s, when, and I don't mean to sound like a chauvinist here or anything like that, but I think feminism, to a certain extent, encouraged women to go out into the workplace and earn their own money. And that has changed society. That has,
yes.
Know, where mothers in the past would have stayed home. But
look at all the research that's been done. The studies that have been done in the last 4 or 5 years. I can name the Sullis one. There was another one more recently during the referendum that was either Red Sea or Amharic or somebody did one recently, asking women, if they could make the same amount of money and stay at home to raise their children, would they? And they said yes. Primarily, 80% or something said yes. You know what I mean?
And I completely agree with what Pauline is saying. What's the point of having children, two or three children, and having to pay a second mortgage for those children to go to childcare? You know, you drop them off at 7 o'clock or 7:30 in the morning. You pick them up at 5 or 6. You see them for maybe 2.5 hours, and then you put them to bed and you repeat. And then you see them at the weekend.
I know people who are doing that and almost paying one person's full wage to put two or three children in a creche for the whole month. You know what I mean? But stay there, Billy.
Right.
Yeah, that's staffed. Yeah, let me go to Michael. Michael, hi, how are you?
Hello, how are you keeping?
Good, Michael. I've only got 2 minutes, so I'm unfortunately going to have to get to make it brief, but go on.
Yeah, I will make it very brief. First of all, I do see it where I live. I see the people bringing their children very early in the morning, and some of them are only toddlers. It's a long day for them, and it's even longer for the parents. And because you're dead right, you hit it on the nail. The parents are coming home, and they're always saying goodnight to the children, and then they're gone to bed. But yeah, just to be very brief about the houses, I don't know whether I'll ever see houses being built again in my lifetime. When I look back at the years that were like the 60s, the 70s or whatever, houses were springing everywhere.
Yeah, but Sean Lamass, of course, was responsible for all of that. Yeah.
But the thing about it now is they're all tower blocks. I hate to use the word tower blocks.
Apartment blocks,
forgive me for using
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're apartments. Yeah, that's a better phrase. There are apartments now being built everywhere. And this is the future. And it's so sad to see that because, you know, it's everybody dreams of their home. But I don't think, and I hope I'm wrong, I really mean this, Niall. I'm wrong. There's a lot of land out there, whether it's down the country, whether it's up in the mountains. Why can't they start building houses? This is the short way out for the government, for the speculators. Let's get tower blocks. They had them in England. I lived in England when I was only 16. And they had them. They were raising them up way, way back in the 60s. Now it's when I look now today and I see the apartments being built in Dublin, even going as far as the mountains. For a minute, I asked, am I back in England again? And this is what's happening. I would love to see houses being built while I'm still
Well, you know what, Michael, I agree with you, but the problem we have at the moment is there just isn't enough people to build houses. And like Billy says rightly there too, there are lots of houses already in the country. You know, if we actually used our heads, we wouldn't need to build too much. By the way, Michael, can I just mention as well, just very briefly before I go into the news, I haven't heard you on in a long, long time. And I have no idea
if I haven't
been
well. No,
I was going to say, are you okay? And if you're not, I wish you well. Are you all right? I haven't heard you in years. Actually, it's been a couple of years since you've been on.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what. Now I've very, very bad eyesight now. Well, I mean, there's people worse off me. I'm pulling the devil by the tail. I'm so grateful that I'm alive, because when you see what's happening around the world, I should be on my knees thanking God. So thank you for accepting my call.
No, and it was lovely to talk to you again, because I used to speak to you quite a lot, and you haven't been on in quite a number of years. I think it must be a couple of years, Michael, since you've been on, is it?
Yes, well, I hope to be on again, because there was a guy, and I think he's a great speaker. And I remember him, I apologize if I ever had a run-in with him. I think his name is Steve.
Steve.
Yeah. But I do listen to your show.
Good.
Honest to God, it's fantastic.
Listen, Michael, I'm glad we keep you company anyway. And listen, you're quite welcome to come back on the air anytime.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.